I'm Kwan Jeff Bisa, and I wish to acknowledge as well as thank Location One for its creation and support of the International Residency Program, of which these three artists are the first residents. With an open source paradigm, Location One aids resident artists in developing their own projects across a technological divide, helps in shaping and defining new media activity, creates new interfaces, and reaches audiences far beyond the confines of the traditional studio and gallery spaces. Although this is a group exhibition of the first resident artists, I do find a common thread in the three works. In terms of a topic of the investigations of spaces, one artist addressing the individual or couple, the second, the extended family, and the third addressing issues of nationality or nationhood. I'm going to start with François Boucher, who did a work entitled The Museum of Mankind. This is a video installation depicting the statues that stand high on the roof of the Museum of Mankind in London. François, your heritage embraces a French Alsatian father, a philosopher, and a Colombian mother, an expert in linguistics. And you've lived in London as well as Cali, Colombia. How has this mixed heritage influenced your work? And how did you decide to choose the Museum of Mankind as the focus for this piece? Is this biographical?
Well, yes. It is definitely biographical in the sense of having a French father in my house. Well, in my house, my father was kind of a representative of, for me as a little boy, of that old world, of somewhere else that he had in his mind mythified. Mm-hmm. And he was very involved in Western philosophy and in the history of Western thought as a whole. He was a French literature professor and then became very involved with Martin Heidegger in the last 10 years of his life, where he was writing a book on Heidegger. So, well, you can see there the relationship with this idea of this high culture and this very massive and this very intimidating high culture that is confluenced, in my case, with a father. Mm-hmm. And this notion of existing within a territory that is kind of this underbelly of the world, this south outside of, always anthropologized by the gaze of these men that are standing there in the Museum of Mankind up above, looking down this territory where power has been standing for so long. And so this confluence of the father and the European in my house, mm-hmm, created this kind of made me see myself as a site of a very particular reflection, where a challenge was inevitably. Was something that I have always seen as inevitable for me. I don't see it as though I am Latin American challenging the heavy high culture of the old world. I see myself as partaking in the two cultural codes and having had to negotiate them. Mm-hmm. And in a piece like this one, even the cliché of a higher culture and a lower culture are used and are incorporated to kind of draw the diagram of kind of the ecology that was formed in my thought because of these biographical traits. So yes, it's very biographical in that sense.
And yet on another level, it's kind of a personalization of the negotiations of the colonizer and the colonized being one in yourself.
Exactly. And not in this straightforward way, because I see myself partaking in the two, and I see as we were saying before, I mean the biographical traits are basically that I am I grew up in South America with a French name, and the negotiations of that French name and the authority of the French name in a Latin American country, and the authority of a French father over me, are all these elements that start to provoke a way of thinking in me, and start to provoke the necessity of challenging something, and that challenge is always to be restaged in different ways. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to you before, in Twin Murders, already it is very clear that I am positing a violent act or an act of resistance to a father, but it's not evidently the father, the person. It's an order of things that I there's a desire to subvert an order of things through a violent act. So this figure of the David and Goliath, mm-hmm. here in front of the statues relates to all that negotiation with the father and with the European culture within me.
Now, the statues themselves, the three different images that are simultaneously displayed, what is the importance of those images, or the selection of those images, of the statues above the roof?
Well, as I was telling you before, I'm not concentrated on who they are representing. It is more the fact of shooting this representation and kind of doing this representation of a representation. The statue is already a representation of the great thinker, or great politician, mm-hmm. of humanity, of mankind, with this grandiose way of saying it. And the position where he is on the top of the building, looking down at all the rest of the world, mm-hmm. from this peak of knowledge, of having almost created the discourses by which we live, you know, having laid the ground for our own thinking, these men are supposedly are basically the encyclopedias are written by and through them. So to look at them when they're in the position of statues, when they are belonging to the architecture, is a place where I can see the metaphor developing, the metaphor of looking to the father and to the high culture.
Now, I'm listening to the explanation of the way that you actually shot the video, I mean, that is handheld. We had discussed references to Godard and Fritz Lang and the Odyssey. I was particularly impressed with the physicality of the connection that you were making. We talked about this before. Can you relay this to the listener?
Yes. well, one of the statues, for example, is shot with the camera on top of the heart, so it's almost as if you're transferring the heart to the inanimate object. And this reflection had started with Godard's specific film of Godard called Le Mépris from 1963, where he travels around the statues of the Greek gods, Neptune and Minerva, mm-hmm. and makes them come alive by the effect of the cinematography, of the traveling shot, the tracking shot, well, mm-hmm. that is used metaphorically in that moment, since the story is all about how the Odyssey is going to be translated into the moving image. Godard wants to bring the reflection one step further and saying, and making the Greek gods come alive and show their presence in a story that seems an everyday story, and making one of the characters become the equivalent to Ulysses and the other become the equivalent to Penelope, Brigitte Bardot becoming Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, when I shoot these figures, this transference of life to them, to the inanimate object, is a continuation of this reflection of trying to see these deep metaphorical possibilities of filming this moment of the representation of representation, where a certain reflection, a certain metaphor is set forth by the sole act of a handheld camera in front of the statue,
mm-hmm.
and a certain position regarding to the statue.
Mm-hmm. You also bring in another Roman deity, or a Janus, the backward and forward facing ancient deity, guardian of entrances and beginnings. And he seems to figure prominently in your work. In his commentary on your film Twin Murders, Greg Bordowitz from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago comments that your work, quote, expresses the doubt about two forms of identity that are actually mirror images of each other. Can you comment on that, please?
Well, yeah, the figure of Janus, when I shot that statue, I was also thinking, that's when I was first thinking of Le Mépris of Godard,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of my kind of train of thought was leading me towards him for many different reasons. The two faces, the whole film Twin Murders, was about twinship, about the father and the son, and about immortality. So I was thinking if in Le Mépris it makes sense to make Neptune and Minerva come alive, or Poseidon and Athena, it makes sense in my film to make Janus, the two-faced god, and the god that looks towards the future and the past, be the one to come alive. The metaphor of my film is the question of the twinship, the relationship to the father, and this kind of astonishment regarding time, in a sense being a repetition of the father, and all of a sudden taking a phrase of my father, like I did when he there's a poem that says, "A mon fils François, c'est autre moi-même," to my son François, that other me, myself. And when I take that phrase and I say it, I in a sense say, I am fathering myself again. The whole question of the whole issue of time is questioned when mm-hmm. you father yourself. This kind of paradox, this paradoxical place that Janus occupies, being not being in the present and in the past, being mm-hmm. looking in the two directions, was crucial to the film, because the film all has to do, I guess, as this one also has to do, with a kind of violent act that puts you, that undoes or turns around an order of things.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of an act of courage, I guess. In that sense, the David Goliath thing of these Museum of Mankind
right. Images
where there is, as if you could challenge the immortality of the statue, you stay there for half an hour, your heart is beating, it's almost a resistance piece,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it takes, there is some physicality involved, but the upward looking it becomes toilsome, how do you say that?
It takes a toll.
It's taxing.
Uh-huh.
It becomes taxing, almost like a performance.
Right.
And
yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. So you can see in that shot that it goes from day to night, so that the passing of time, and you hear the cars mm-hmm. and the flow of the city, and you have this kind of absurd, or hero of the absurd, in the sense that Camus says it, of a person that is performing this act of resisting something that is probably within himself that he cannot place anywhere else but in a symbolic act of shooting a statue or in that kind of symbolic gesture, mm-hmm. in a metaphor.
And you've just touched on another important component of the installation, the sound that you mentioned. And I'm fascinated by the way you layered these three different soundtracks. Can you comment on their structure and then the significance of their selection?
Yes, well, one of them is what the camera is picking up, which is London traffic. And I find that already there, if I had left only that soundtrack, there was already a play going on between this static statue there forever and ever, and this flowing city of people that are passing and passing under its gaze, under its immortal gaze. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to give it these other layers, this kind of diagram that I describe, where there is. It's almost a cliche, but it's like playing with the cliche of a high culture, of an Apollinius. I don't know how you say it really in English.
Apollonian.
Apollonian.
Right.
Uh-huh. Apollonian and Dionysian.
Exactly.
An Apollonian and a Dionysian down from a lower salsa, which is, sorry, I have to go back. The second level is salsa, Richie Ray and Bobby Cruz from the 70s. Two Puerto Ricans that went to Cali, my home city, several times in the 70s and had this very triumphant kind of salsa. And then up above you hear Dvorak, the Symphony of the New World. Obviously I chose it because of that new world and conquering code that it has. And then they are placed in this way, in this kind of diagrammatic way, where the one is up above the high European culture and the other one exists at the level of the stomach, almost mm-hmm. in a more visceral way.
Right.
And I kind of shuffle them together for this, as they were shuffled in me, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
As I perceived that Dvorak in the afternoons, where there was this particular radio program where that was introduced with the Dvorak's little phrase that I have there, and I could hear it in the twilight of the afternoon always. My father listening to this, and my father being a strong figure of my childhood, this deep thinker with his Dvorak. All of that feeling is there for me. Is in the moment of thinking of the piece, all of that is coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the salsa also has this moment of celebrating Cali, my hometown. And since all the issue has to do with this perception, almost of a place of. Not of a place, more like of me being, having the sense of having fallen from the grace of the first world almost, or this new world that is imprecise and erratic and absurd regarding that old, serious, inscribed in stone
mm-hmm.
Phrase of the old world. Then all of this comes and starts being played in the cocktail of the piece.
Mm-hmm. Now the lyrics for the salsa, when you translated for me, had some significance for Cali also, right?
The lyrics?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, he says, "Que viva Cali, chipichapayumbu," long live Cali.
I see.
It has this kind of victorious thing in front of the other overwhelming Dvorak, symphonic, heavy,
right.
Germanic, well, he's Czech, but European,
correct.
Northern European tone. Mm-hmm. So And I also remember something, another aspect of this is I really very clearly remember one day that my father explained to me how a symphony, a certain Tchaikovsky symphony, was functioning, where you could hear the Marseillaise, the French anthem, mm-hmm. being confronted with, I don't remember, the Russian anthem, and part of the symphony was the clashing of these two pieces of music.
Uh-huh.
So when I was in the middle of the piece, I kind of thought that I had this moment of a crack when I remembered that afternoon right. when he explained that to me, and I sort of saw that the relationship was very clear, you know, mm-hmm. of having that confrontation in music.
Well, and finally, why don't you tell us more about your new project, which is entitled Elsewhere, a Collaboration. I understand that it's a shift in viewpoint on how one country is portrayed by another country's media, sort of looking centripetally from the periphery into the center.
Yes. It's a bit frozen, that project, because it is a collaboration and we're all in different parts of the world. And we did work it a lot through the internet in chat rooms and the whole project came from the fact that I invited them to come to Colombia and participate with me in an invitation that I received from the Bank of the Republic to review sort of what Fred Wilson has done here in America, has been mm-hmm. taken by an institution in Colombia, by the curator of the institution, very aware of Fred Wilson's practice, mm-hmm. invites artists to review the collection of the bank and right. to travel with it around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was invited to do that, I decided to do it with people from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, as we discussed, we went far away from the fact of that we were going to review to have to do with this collection. And we came more to the idea of this documentary on the United States, where we would, but that was the way kind of to frame it, no? To say it is a documentary on a subject, which would be the United States, where instead of moving towards the subject, we move away from the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So to clearly address all the issues of representation
mm-hmm.
and to clearly address all the issues and of the center and the periphery. So going to Colombia, to the elsewhere of the states, of the United States,
mm-hmm.
working with students in a kind of a laboratory way, capturing all images of the media that related to the states and bringing them back here in a very, very strange operation of shifting contexts and kind of revealing how far the sign travels and what huge distance there is from the images that exist locally and the images that exist elsewhere, and to reveal all the politics and the politics of and the dynamics of power in the whole
mm-hmm.
in the whole process. So this one is a bit on hold for the moment, but I'm sure we will end up finishing that.
Sounds like an excellent project. Thank you, François.
Thank you very much.